The title of my sermonette today is Finding Our Way Through Faith. And if you indulge me, I will begin with a somewhat silly little story, which will help begin to prove my message here as we get into it. But so as I begin here, a minister, a rabbi, and an imam are traveling together to a conference. As the situation would have it, they began to argue and debate the rightness of each's theology. In the process, they soon became terribly lost, but each pretended to be quite confident. But that is the way of the world, isn't it? To be confident whether you have the justification or not. That is the way of the world. That is until they ran out of gas. They were not far from a nearby convenience, gas station, and yoga studio. It was a combination. So they all got out of the car and walked to the establishment. They told the man behind the counter, who was deep in thought, that they were truly lost and required assistance and directions. And the man looked at them, and he pondered each of them and pondered their question. And finally, he offered his own observation to them. And he answered and said, "Yes, truly, you are lost. Seek the path, and you will find enlightenment." You guessed it. The man was actually a Buddhist. So that kind of closed the loop for them all. But they still remained lost in the real world. I crafted this silly joke really to help me begin to make my point here. As you heard last week in Mr. Rank's sermon concerning the importance of truth in our lives, you heard him clearly state that it's quite easy to become distracted by the world around us. Many distractions. Just think about the media, and you will certainly understand that. And it's easy to be deceived, indeed, and to become lost in the process. So the linkage of truth and becoming lost when we're not aware of what we should be focused on. And oftentimes, rather than correct our path, as was the case in my fictitious story there, we drive deeper and deeper into despair, and we can quite frankly worsen our own plight. Instead of first seeking Jesus out, seeking the kingdom of God through Jesus, we turn to the world to ease our pain or to find the way, whatever that means in the current context. Now, if a person is in the wilderness here in the world and becomes lost and without gear or Google Earth or Google Maps and a cell tower, not always what's available, he or she can still create a compass using the sun and a series of sticks. I'll spare you the exhaustive detail, but it's actually quite simple. Using a 3-foot stick driven into the ground as straight as possible, you establish an initial shadow, and you mark the end of the shadow's image with a small stick, and you wait 15 minutes, and you mark the end again. And then within about 45 minutes, you have a series of smaller sticks, and you line them up with that 3-foot stick. And you actually have then established your western direction and your eastern direction by doing this, just by tracking the sun's movement. And if you lay another 3-foot stick, or the approximate length, perpendicular in the middle, then you have just created your compass. And as long as you have sun, that is the beginning of finding your way. So using another, as I mentioned that, so it's kind of cool that you can do that in the real world. You can actually use a wristwatch to do much the same, pointing it in the direction of the shadow of the sun, and you can even sort out your latitude. But that's not the point. The point is, in that case, that if one becomes lost in the real world, there are elements that you can do to find your way. But if one becomes lost in the spiritual sense, quite a bit more meaningful, the situation is far more serious. So how does one begin to chart a course back to God's truth and righteous pathway? For a starting point, turn with me to Psalm 119, reading in the New King James Version, version, excuse me. And in verse 176, it's a very long chapter, Psalm 119, verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Now, this entire psalm, which, as you can see, is, as I mentioned, quite lengthy, it's actually considered an acrostic segment in that the eight verse sections are arranged according to the Hebrew alphabet, and each verse contains one of eight words for God's teaching: law, testimony, way, precept, statute, commandment, judgment, and word. And this actually provides a good roadmap for us to remain or to get back on track, to find the truth and to find the way. Now, David sets the standard right at the beginning of the book. And turn with me back to the first chapter of Psalms. So, first chapter of Psalms, and in verse 6, we note, "For the Lord God knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." So you'll notice the way continues to become the very central theme here. This is a very potent message to heed and to find the way to the truth, again, that Mr. Rank spoke about last week, because as you see, the stakes are indeed high for the alternative pathway. You can imagine what might happen if you wander in the wilderness for days without a sense of direction and without the ability to course correct. Our physical being might not last long unless we had an endless supply of food and water and could keep ourselves safe from harm, from the animals that stalk the wilderness. So too, if we wander and drift away from God without repenting and seeking the truth, our spiritual future is then very much in jeopardy. In Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 18, we see this point very clearly. So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 18. "But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines brighter unto the perfect day." Then we'll continue in verse 19. "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." So, of course, we see here the point made very clearly for us that unless we're following the true path that was established by God, we will stumble, we will become lost, and our spiritual future is very much in jeopardy at that point. In the wilderness, we need the sun to find our true north and our compass bearings, as I mentioned earlier with my little scientific observation. Now, in our relationship with God, we require his light, his sun, and his truth to find our way and stick to the path. You might have suspected that I would wind up in John, and this is an important chapter and an important segment to make further drive home the point, in John chapter 14 and in verse 6. And Jesus here is speaking to Thomas, who was in essence asking for directions in terms of following Jesus. Jesus responded to Thomas and said, this is very familiar to all of us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He could not have been more clear than that for us in pointing that out. That is all we need. When we are feeling lost and perhaps alienated from God, the best course is to pray. We know that. God does know what is in our hearts. We don't have to ever wonder or be concerned about that. He does know what's in our hearts. In Psalm 44, in verses 20 and 21, So again, Psalm 44, verses 20 and 21, we read, "If we had forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a foreign God, would not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart." So we are not able to hide and must pray for the guidance we need. Now we meditate on this, not by emptying our minds, as some might suggest to us, but rather by filling it with God's love and asking for a change of heart. When I need to right my ship personally, I turn often to Isaiah. And this is just my personal true north and my compass. And you don't need to turn here for this, but it's in chapter 9, and I've referred to this many times over the last year, a very familiar prophecy from Isaiah, and what I consider to be a balm for our uncertainty in this world. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And as we know, the verses go on to state Isaiah's prophecy of what that means for our future. And when I was new to really beginning to come into an understanding of the Bible and its teachings, and I found Isaiah chapter 9 and began to reflect on the prophecy and the link with the New Testament scriptures, I certainly had a chill run up my spine. And if I ever had doubts, that allayed any concern and any doubt in my mind and in my heart. It just made a point that I could never even begin to understand and explain before. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." What a better way to find our way in the world. Jesus was given to us and sadly was sacrificed for our salvation. But as we know, we could never find our way without God's mercy and generosity in giving the life of his son for us, so that we will be able to find the way. He is truly the way, the truth, and our hope. I appreciated Mr. Rank's sermon last Sabbath, and it frankly inspired me as I was thinking about the subject I wanted to cover, and I was excited to see the intersections with what I had in mind. God's truth is the path and the way. So all we need to do is stick with it and keep our studies up.